Okay. So there you go.
Everyone got names.
Yay.
No.
Yep. I even have a last name written on it.
Ew. Weird.
I feel like I also have to hear the Doctor Who theme before I go.
Well, of course. I'm not. Am I an amateur?
Wait. Start like this session. That,
of course.
That's how I figured this session would start.
Yeah.
You can't jump the gun on that.
I know. I'm just waiting for it. I was expecting.
Don't worry. It's going to happen.
I was expecting.
Let's see here. I think that's all you need to know. Now I just need to jot down some things for who you are and what you roughly do, right? And then I'll get the poker chips out so you have your story points, right? Okay, so let's go from right to left. Steven.
Okay, playing N, E-N.
E-N.
Nice and simple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. And you are, just like in broad strokes, your character is a...
psychic.
Male, female, alien, from what planet?
Heavily based off of the Elder from XCOM.
Okay.
So gray skin, effectively have evolved to the point where it's like moved away from a lot of physical activity and all psychic focused.
Sure. Do you have a gender identity, or are you...
I would assume no at this point.
Okay.
Like, would literally go with they.
Non-gendered gray.
Gray.
Quote-unquote gray, because I know what that says to me in my mind. Okay. What's your tech level?
I went with 7. That's like advanced exploration of star systems and FTL stuff.
DL7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Robert.
She is Candy Patel.
Candy,
C-A-N-D-Y? K-A-N-D-I.
Ah, okay. K-A-N-D-I. Patel, like the Indian last name?
Mm-hmm.
Patel. Okay.
And she is a buff Southeastern Asian woman.
Okay.
Nice.
Female human. All right.
And her tech level is 5.
Modern day. Got it. Okay. Lance, did you put something together?
I did, but I'm going to go. So.
Okay. Zach.
We are David Brown.
David Brown, spelled the traditional way for both, I think.
Yep.
Mr. Brown.
Okay.
He's a street magician.
Nice.
Male human, I assume?
Yep. Very neat.
Okay. Tech level?
Did you take the
5.
Bible
trip? 5.
For Chris Angel.
No.
And you were EN, not
E-N,
just N.
Yeah.
Okay.
E-N.
Yeah. Rachel?
Still working on a name.
It's the hardest part of a character.
I can generate a Gallifreyan name for you. That's not a problem.
Go for it.
Okay.
I trust you.
Now, obviously, you may be the something.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I know.
Or you could just go by a shortening of your Gallifreyan name, like.
Well, why don't you give me what my Gallifreyan name is, and I can shorten it appropriately.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Probably want to shorten those. Or we're giving you a name.
Gallifreyan names are giant names.
They're ridiculous. They're like minimum 15 characters.
Let's see here.
The cook.
That has some bad connotations, though.
If any of these.
Every time I've heard
a
cook, it's always like, "Oh, they."
I will just go with something that's shortened. I'll go with Hazel.
The one I remember, it was
okay. It'll be up to you to.
They said, "Just tell them the cook's arrived," and it's supposed to be like the mercenary guy.
I'm a time lady. I can go by whatever I want.
So
coming in, it's just, you know, he's comfy to get on.
Do you introduce
the ship again.
Yourself to people as Hazel, or are you like the something?
No, I'll just go with Hazel. Okay, staff
position instead of bodyguard, the cook.
Nice.
Time lady TL10.
This is just my chef knife, the monoblade.
Okay.
Mm.
And does your TARDIS have a name, or is it just the TARDIS?
Makes good sushi.
I mean, it doesn't have to. Like, Adam, you know, everybody can say it's like, that's a TARDIS, but that's also saying, like, that's a Ford. Or,
right.
Like,
I
you
think
know.
TARDIS is Ford.
That's a Yaris.
Yeah.
You're a monster. We should always give you a car name.
Okay. Cool.
They get angry when they don't have a name.
We must appease the machine spirits.
I mean,
bring forth the essential oils.
I mean, if we're playing
Shadowrun,
I will
bow before our robot overlords.
I mean, if we're playing Shadowrun, right?
You know, oh, no, I was going on a Warhammer 40k approach to things. They don't understand how technology works. They just, like, ritualistically do things, and it happens to be the proper ritual to repair.
That reminds me of Numenera a little bit.
Oh, very heavily, yeah.
Now we need to, before we begin, we need to settle another detail.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in the universe, generally speaking? And also, why are these people with you?
Hmm. I guess I would be the pilot, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Probably. If you wanted to
just,
like,
renting someone's TARDIS and they happen to be, like, in the closet.
No.
So you're a human?
Yeah.
You're
a street
David.
Magician. Yes.
One of the interesting setups is actually a TARDIS just showing up.
Ian.
And then people just, like,
yep, just end.
The door's opening for them and they just kind of go in and, like, there's nobody here.
And then
the TARDIS just
go.
Takes them. So.
And then there are buttons and switches. And you know what we do with buttons and switches?
You push them.
And you
have
to
manipulate them, yes.
And what was your character's name, Robert?
Candy.
K-A-N-D-I. Cool.
And then we have E-N, the floating brain creature.
No,
I have a body. It is mostly brain.
You're just a Metroid now.
Well, I mean, what is this adventure going to take place in? Are we working for UNIT, or...?
That's up to you. You show me. The basic setup is that
alien.
You are traveling together through space-time.
Mm-hmm.
A thing will happen.
Uh-huh.
You will be forced into this adventure, as
mm-hmm.
all Doctor Who episodes begin.
Yep.
You know. So prior to that, that's up to you. You can tell me what
show
you want.
The street magician, an actual
magician.
You could just be like a lot of other Time Lords that exist, or just sort of like just shooting the shit and traveling through space time.
That sounds great. Actually,
or you can have a contact with UNIT or whatever. You can do whatever you want.
Showing us your favorite foods.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Maybe I pick them up out of what's your TL level?
Five.
Yeah, the two of them are from 21st century. Well,
seven.
Hereabouts.
Seven.
You could be from like in that range. You could be from like the 1980s, or you know, like it's just like we're looking at in terms of TL five, like
close modern.
Close modern. Yeah.
If the two of you happen to be, like, overlapping, then we can do the classic of, like, I happen to be in the neighborhood, like, observing humanity as we see every single time.
Or we could do the alternative timeline of, well, the planet exploded, and I happen to grab these two people off this planet, and
so
this one off this
for
one.
All the fish.
And so we just do this now.
I mean, what else would
Which
we do?
Sounds good to me. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but sounds accurate, at least.
Hmm.
If everyone's cool with that.
I'd be good with it.
Pick them up pre or post imminent explosion of their planet.
It's going to take my guy a minute to get used to you actually being a psychic, because in my head he's like...
That's parlor tricks. That's,
yeah, well...
That's cold reading.
My character is definitely from the 80s because she is rad.
Okay.
Oh,
fantastic. I like it.
I based him nameless as well around the magician food, like his thing. He goes around and like debunks... mediums and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Okay, we got
Those
it.
Fun.
And so seeing someone who actually is like
real,
so trying to figure out how you're foolish.
I mean,
how are you?
There's definitely like
the
very
stuff?
Like alien appearance on top of that, but it's still like, yeah, but
it bothers me more that
yeah.
you're a psychic than that you're an alien.
You still have to follow the laws of physics.
Maybe you're floating brains. What do I know?
Here, I'll get you a picture.
Okay, so you are... So that gives us contextual information that we can all work with, right?
Yeah.
So you guys all know each other. And have traveled at least partially with each other. even if this is like the first time, like you've been to somewhere else other than apparently your own exploding planet.
Yeah.
Nice.
A vague description.
Okay.
No, they had
you know, a creature with that build would make a really good magician even without your voodoo
tricks.
With
the extra hands, yeah.
Yeah, you just wear two
he keeps
sleeves.
Talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So then
he's telling
just
him to silence.
You hide
quiet, mortal.
Okay, so Hazel, as a time lady, you are traveling in your TARDIS through the vortex,
mm-hmm.
Heading through space-time. I haven't started the theme yet because there's a weird, it's a cold open.
I suppose you want to know what I look like, don't you?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay. She's probably about 5'8", and I don't want to say athletic because she doesn't like to work out.
But
she's probably about medium build-ish. Just wearing jeans and probably just jeans, t-shirt, and a purple jacket, because she can. She's kind of somewhere put sock screwdriver, man.
Okay.
Why are you making fun of me?
I was just expecting like a velvet jacket or tweed or something. But...
Nah.
Something more.
No, just jeans, huh?
Hey, man.
You got the last, like, box of Levi's from Earth.
Look, she wants to be comfortable.
No, the original Levi's made by
pockets.
Levi.
I do want pockets.
Yeah.
Then you didn't get female jeans off the planet Earth.
That's
true.
Fair
yeah.
I just alternate timeline where I like to put pockets in women's clothes.
That's why the
it
world
has
had to
exist
be
somewhere.
They're
you
just
know,
men's clothes, just retailored.
It's probably just black hair, blue eyes, Time Lord looking. Which means
sure,
so
human.
Absolutely
human.
Nothing.
Human.
Average human looking.
Likes high collars, I guess. Okay, so you are traveling in your TARDIS through space-time. The rest of you are set about the sort of control area around the console. You hear the steady pulsing and humming of the interior of the ship. You can see the time rotor in the center of the console pulsing with a sort of a faint light. You feel sort of the vibration of the unit as it's making its way through the vortex. So, what are you doing?
Probably reading up on Earth, now that I have to travel with two humans.
Sure, yeah, it's important to know the details.
So it's like one set of hands like folded, and then the other is like holding the book and flipping the pages.
I've always wanted to do that.
Monitoring.
Oh, the floating. And then... Yes.
I would be monitoring the controls and drinking some tea.
Okay. Okay. Candy.
I'd be practicing punching stuff.
It's doing some kind of shadow boxing,
yeah.
Right in the corner. Yeah.
I imagine this is how a lot of adventures start. If you punch
really
something
motivated.
That wasn't meant to be punched, and we end up somewhere.
So
no.
Please use the punching bag. It's on level 3, 4 doors down. Yeah, sounds about right.
3 doors down. Superman. And David, what are you doing?
Just wandering the TARDIS, rolling coins on the back of my hand.
Don't touch that.
I touch it. That's probably how this goes.
There's a light egg timer sound.
Told you not to touch that.
It's Keekler 2.0.
So as the lot of you are spending time in the main sort of TARDIS console area, sort of trying to entertain yourselves as you're traveling. Hazel, actually all of you, suddenly hear a loud, shearing groan coming from inside the TARDIS.
That was not me.
I didn't do it.
It's very comforting, you two. Thank you.
Just like
suddenly,
lower the book to look over it. Back up.
A shower of sparks erupts from the panel closest to you on the console. You feel the space of the TARDIS, the internal mechanisms begin to judder violently.
Land it in an emergency kind of way.
Okay, so you're going to try to operate the controls.
Yeah.
Okay. So you reach over and touch the controls of the TARDIS, and then the shaking stops. And it starts again.
Damn it!
Cables looping from the ceiling jutter this way and that, sparking, and you hear an explosion somewhere beneath the console. Deep and echoing.
Lady Hazel, should we be worried?
No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Can I roll to see what the fuck is going on?
Yes, you can. Let's see. Would you like to check the fault locator?
The fault locator?
Yes.
All right. What? How do I do that?
Ingenuity and technology, please.
I get this. It's fine. 17.
Okay, the difficulty was a 9. So the difference is 8.
Don't you have extra stuff for the Time Lord?
I mean, yeah, that's without my...
Time Lordiness.
So,
time
you do... It's so a yes, it's a really yes and result. It's a fantastic result. So, you know that based on the information that the display and the console is feeding you, the TARDIS is under attack. Most of the damage is being caused by some kind of... It's like the TARDIS is actively trying to fight off an infection. And the assault, this infection, is both physical and psychic, which is why the TARDIS is having trouble keeping itself together. Suddenly there's another sort of explosion, and you see below the console a white, golden white light... erupts out of a sear into the just splits in the bottom of the console. Is anyone clumsy or unlucky or has slow reflexes?
Unlucky.
Excellent. I need you to make a coordination and athletics check as this golden white light shoots towards you out of the bottom of the console.
This will be bad.
That's not bad.
It's not too bad. It's only plus 2 though.
So what's your total?
11.
Okay, you did succeed. Difficulty was 9 though.
Ian, get out of the way!
So you are going to take 2 levels of damage.
Okay.
As you are able to sort of... Are you floating out of the way, or are you like, oh, are you running?
Still,
or?
Like, yeah, have to physically move, but just got so used to doing things psychically that very slow to get out of the way of this.
Yeah, so you take a moment using your reflexes and your very thin legs to sort of jutter out of the way. Part of this light sort of streams past you, strikes you across the arm, and singes... your flesh there. You instantly recognize that, Hazel, as vortex energy escaping out of the console of the TARDIS into the control room.
Great.
I'm being torn apart by literal space-time.
Okay, how can I fix this? Should I land it and then fix it, or fix it and then land?
Well, you can do an ingenuity check for me.
Cool.
Just ingenuity, nothing else.
Okay. 10.
10. Okay, so you know that the TARDIS has a self-repairing kind of mechanism to it. But that is not going to kick in until, 1, it lands, and 2, you guys need to leave.
Yeah.
Because if the console essentially continues to to prevent vortex energy from escaping the Eye of Harmony underneath the console,
it's bad.
You will all be like obliterated by vortex energy. So, right.
So I will roll to make an emergency landing.
Okay,
or
sounds
I will
good.
Just do the thing.
So, would you like to? No, I will not. I will not tell you what to do. You can spend story points to get clues or whatever. Have you?
Okay, fine.
So the TARDIS just continued to like jutter and shake. There's sparks everywhere.
Hasn't even been a week and you're already ready to kill us.
I'll spend a story point and tell me what to do.
Okay.
Only time in your marriage you're ever going to hear that.
You know that currently you know that you're currently still in transit. Right.
Yeah.
You haven't landed anywhere yet. In fact, now you can tell based on the information that the TARDIS console is giving you that you are basically like spinning through the vortex out of control.
Okay.
You have no idea where you're going to land or when. And you know that you probably want to check your coordinates, see if you can get a lock on where you are right now, and maybe check the TARDIS scanner itself. Maybe you can see the exterior to see if, like, you can get an idea of where you're going to land or when.
Okay.
In the future, like in the distance, if you will.
Should you pass out story points since we're using them already?
If you want to use them. So most of you have 12, is that right?
Yeah.
I have 7. I just spent 1, so.
Okay. So.
Bust some stacks.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I appreciate you giving me the blue ones.
Well, I figured.
It's appropriate.
Okay. What's green?
I'll take green.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Of course, I picked up 11. 12. There you go.
I'll take red.
Red. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 this time, so better.
Yeah, I'll take what's left.
Still the same.
There's
blue, blue or black?
Black, or there's some blue left if you're red.
Black. Okay. Yeah, for two people that have the same color.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Yeah. So these are your story points. And remember, on the back is a helpful thing about how to use them.
I will check the coordinates and glance outside, like the screen to look outside.
Okay, ingenuity and technology, please.
Okay, let me just say I did it. That's a 21.
21! Great.
21.
21.
So, I have an ingenuity of 6 and a technology of 4. I mean, what do you want from me?
So the information the display is telling you as you sort of swing it around the side, that the TARDIS is in deep space, outer edge of the galaxy.
Oof.
It's never been to this region before. And you know that something is actively, this infection that you're aware of, is actively trying to close down the navigational system. You're able to flip a switch and change the display to reveal the TARDIS scanner sensory information. You see that it's hurtling towards what looks like a large, it looks like a spaceship that is itself tumbling slowly end over end in a kind of like a clearly not heading in this direction, but actively sort of slowly drifting.
Mm-hmm.
Listing towards a huge swath of debris that looks like from this distance is made out of like heavy metals or something like that.
That's not somewhere good to land.
No.
Okay. So how would I...
David, I need you to make a coordination and athletics check.
Well, I can do one of those for you.
Why not both?
Well, if you don't have... If you have zero in there, hang on, just whatever.
That would be a 9. I rolled like shit.
9. Okay, that is technically a success. You take 2 levels of damage as the vortex energy again. Man, I might be reading this wrong. Let's see here.
Hazel, what in the bloody hell are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Are you breaking something?
Take 2 levels of damage as, again, another seam opens in the bottom area of the console and a shaft of, like, golden white light shoots out, barely striking it.
'Cause the thing's shooting at us.
It's not me. Everybody shut up so I can think.
You can see now, everyone can see now, that basically the console room is beginning to fill up with this harmful vortex energy. The more seams that are cracking out, the more of this vortex energy is seeping out.
Everyone needs to move out of the way. Well, I can't.
Shall we move by the door?
Yes.
There doesn't seem to be an out of the way. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Head over to the door, ready to abandon ship.
I mean, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the lifeboats? Mephis.
You didn't know that you guys were going to die in the beginning of the show, right?
I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to land it. I'm not really given an option for that.
You can land on the ship.
Can I land on the ship?
If you want to, yeah.
You have a TARDIS.
Yeah, let's
you can
do
land
it.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Because every time I've been trying to land it, I'm like, you can do this or
you don't need to roll to operate the TARDIS in a normal way.
Okay, great.
Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to try to set down on this ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you hear the...
Everyone hold on to something tightly.
Yes.
Really tightly.
See, like, the weakest possible grasp.
Get all four
slightly
limbs.
Tighter.
So you feel this. The TARDIS continues to shake, sparks and showering cables and everything like that.
I like grab onto something and accidentally rip it off the wall.
I sit down.
The console room continues to shake. You're having to grab onto railings and stuff like that to keep yourself upright.
Everybody out! Out, out, out! Now!
As you're moving towards the door, you hear this this shearing noise. You know that the TARDIS has rematerialized, but not stationary. You hear a noise as you feel the TARDIS being essentially like dragged along, probably sheet metal or something like that. Suddenly there is a massive stop of the TARDIS. And you're all sort of thrown slightly as steam begins to escape and more of the vortex energy begins filling into the room.
Running towards the door.
I think we've arrived.
Grabbing people as I go out of the TARDIS.
I'm way ahead of you.
Fling the doors open and shove everyone out.
Okay, so you're all rushing out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you rush out, close the doors, shoo, and you're safe for now. You notice that you are in a darkened corridor. After a few seconds, harsh red emergency lighting pops on. You see that steam is escaping out of what looks like a broken bulkhead. Sparks are flying from exposed and snapped wires. And at any rate, Hazel, it appears like you've successfully touched down the ship. With some damage, obviously.
Can everyone breathe?
So we crash landed a ship on a ship.
Good, you can breathe.
Gonna pull out the copy of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy I was reading.
Is another hand a towel? Another hand?
No.
I will take out the sonic and scan. Just kind of out, like, in front of me, the scan the spaceship to kind of get a gauge of where the hell we are.
Okay. So you're going to do a scan?
Yeah.
Give me ingenuity and tech.
Plus two or...
Plus two, because you're doing a scan, right?
Well, she rocked it, so...
17, 21,
23. 23, yep. Okay. So you know that you are definitely on the ship that you were... I mean, the based on the coordinates that you're getting. Like, okay, yeah, we definitely touched down here. You know that there's a problem with the ship's power. This emergency lighting situation is not because of your crash landing. It looks like, based on the information that you're getting, artificial gravity, life support, and lighting are still active, though they're being stressed and overworked. Scanners, engines, and communications all appear to be offline. You also realize that there's something odd about the gravity. You, since you noticed the ship sort of slowly drifting in space, you know that the ship is tumbling and the artificial gravity systems are trying to work to keep up. So it's not... the feeling of the artificial gravity is slightly off because of this overtaxing of the system.
Need to get to the engine room, see if I can fix this. Something's not right.
If we can get there, then perhaps we can figure out what is wrong and we can solve this problem.
The TARDIS probably can fix itself if we give it enough time, but we need to survive that long. And I'll just start wandering down the hallway towards where I think the engine room might be.
I'll follow.
While I'm talking to myself, really.
You make your way through a metallic corridor with a kind of a slightly... It's a sort of a circular perspective, but a flat floor. You see that as you're walking through this this long corridor, there's a series of what look like steel, some kind of metal alloy storage containers periodically, filled with what looks like technical bits and bombs, pieces of metal, screws and bolts and that sort of thing. Things that look like you would be able to repair or create technology with. You can see, actually, a fire extinguisher along the wall. One that all of you, well, with the exception of you, really, but all of you actually recognize. Like, it's slightly, the design is slightly different than that you would see in 21st century Earth, but it's very clear that it's a red thing with a funnel and a hose and everything like that. That's a fire extinguisher. you see that a little bit further down and off to the right, in the emergency red lighting that's still sort of permeating the corridor, you can see what looks like a kiosk or something that's been set into the wall of the corridor. It's kind of a small box and then a angular section that are sort of jutting out into the corridor itself.
I will go and check out the kiosk because I can't help myself.
Okay. You see that there is set into like a plexiglass or some similar material housing is this almost like a this squarish this rectangular tall box-like unit that looks like it's made out of a kind of a black polished metal. And inside the slanted area is this sort of slightly reclined display unit. It's clearly some kind of monitor of some sort, but it appears to be offline.
Kind of tap it.
Did you take the percussion?
Percussive maintenance? You see, you're going to tap on the glass?
Yeah.
So you see the screen pop to life. You see that... in one corner of the display, there's this sort of rolling, what looks like that's probably an advertisement. You can see that there's a what looks like a large, and you guys all recognize this. It's a mute symbol. It's a speaker with a slash through it. But you see that it's showing what looks like pine forests in this corner, this little strip of advertising that's going on. And you also suddenly smell what it's like. You're getting that pine scent.
Smell of
you're getting pine, and then what smells like food being cooked, but not any food that you're familiar with, right? It smells like cooking, but you've never smelled any of this stuff before. And a sickly sweet, like saccharin kind of smell as well. It's sort of like emanating from this unit.
Well, that's cheating. That's an ad box.
A what?
It's a box that's just advertising things.
God, that smells awful.
To Hello? Inform you about choices?
Where are we?
No.
You are currently situated
to
on the forward deck, too.
Directions
I
to
the
engine room.
To the engine room?
It's trying to take away your choice.
Engine room can be found.
I understand.
Actually, it displays a map for you.
Great.
Does it start singing?
Fantastic.
It does not do that.
Follow the bouncing ball.
And I will link this map to you so that you can see it.
On Facebook?
Yes.
To the Facebooks.
And then after that I will say, directions to control room. Please.
Well, thank God you said please.
We're not polite to the machines.
Don't be
fucked
up.
Okay.
Did you do it?
Oh,
That's from the Vortex Energy.
Oh,
that's from the theater.
Oof.
The theater took a good chunk out of you to remember you by.
That's been healing for a week.
Oof. Say, I can see the indents around this cap. I'm so sorry.
Rough.
I was using the wall for balance.
Damn.
And the wall juts out. And we were watching A Simple Favor, so I was coming back from the restroom and didn't realize the wall jetted out. And so just right there.
Oh, nice.
And it kind of, almost like you would peel a potato,
because
it didn't really bleed.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable to see.
That looks like
I did that when I was about 12. I still have a scar on it from the side of my knee here.
Yeah,
you can see it.
I was
taking out the garbage and I walked past the license plate that was jutted out.
Ooh.
And it just sliced a chunk out of my knee.
I was surprised at how little of blood.
Yeah, it took a good couple minutes to start to bleed for me too. Yeah.
Well, no, I just
it really didn't.
We sat there and watched the rest of Simple Favor and I just thought my hand hurt. Like, I thought I bruised it. And then the movie was over and the lights turned on and then I had a chunk missing.
Oh, man. No, mine bled more than that. Alright, anyway, sorry.
So, the screen shows you this large display map. It's like a schematic view. You can see that the display information designates the ship as the Yatsushiro. And you can see that there are like circular bits that are sort of creating enhanced, zoomed-in views of certain parts of the ship, helping to sort of orient you with like the major components of the ship. You can see that you have sort of tumbled into a section on the forward deck too.
Okay. Near like comms?
Actually, it doesn't appear to be that you're anywhere near those sections. It looks like you're going to have to take a lift to go up to an additional floor within the deck and make your way through the area.
I start looking for a lift, I suppose. That'd be an awareness. Something that I would recognize as an elevator sort of thing, I guess.
The very human sign for elevator.
Yeah, would that be an awareness?
Yeah, let's do awareness and tech.
Do awareness and awareness.
I love you, Rebecca Black.
There we go, 14.
14, yeah, okay. But yeah, so you're able to identify that. It looks like continuing along this corridor, taking a right, and then hanging a left at what looks like a sort of a cross junction. Will take you to what looks like a lift to the secondary portions of Deck 2 rather than the additional decks. Right?
Okay.
You'll have to go find a main lift for that.
Everybody follow me. I found an elevator.
A what?
I start walking to...
What is an elevator?
A vertical transference device. I have read about them, and I'll pull out like yet another book, and it'll be...
Oh, wait, is this the American word for lift?
Sure.
You're not British.
But my character is.
A British Time Lord.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Every Time Lord's British. You've watched Doctor Who.
But they don't say that they're British.
They just all have an accent.
Yes.
It's like the Empire in Star Wars.
Exactly. So David, you begin sort of leading the way, making the way down the corridor past this this display unit. And suddenly you become aware of the sound of... It's like a soft... pattering on metal. It almost sounds like rain.
That doesn't make any sense. Could I do some sort of check to see if I can kind of directionally, like, where am I hearing it from?
Yeah, give me an awareness check.
Could just be
actually, give me awareness and ingenuity.
I can do that. That would be a 12.
12. Okay. Yeah, so you're feeling that it's coming. As you're walking through this corridor, it feels like it's coming from above you, along the right, and then slightly under as well.
Hmm. So I would probably, since we have space wizards with us, why would it be raining in a ship?
What?
Can you hear that?
That'd be like an ingenuity in science to try to figure out. Is this some, like, mishap of gravity? Is this...
Well, thankfully, down the corridor, about 20 feet, looks like a viewport or some kind of portion of the corridor that appears to be able to look out directly into space. So you can just go check it out.
Yeah, I'll go look through.
So you make your way over there, and you see that the view is a little dizzying because the ship is actively sort of...
Rotating.
Mm-hmm. And you can see in the distance that massive debris column.
Mm-hmm.
It's now that you've gotten closer to it, you can tell that this is essentially a winding, snaking, planet-sized column of broken ship parts, like desolate, derelict ships, pieces of large machinery. All manner, like severed landing gear, all manner of things that are just in this sort of big and swirling a river, essentially, of debris. And as you're looking through the window, you hear and you realize that's debris from the field hitting the window in front of you.
We need to get this ship fixed quickly and keep going towards the lift. A little bit faster this time.
Very well.
Okay.
As you're making your way further down the corridor, you hang a left. You see that this corridor, there are lots of... Several pieces of the corridor's interior, the walls, are broken or dented. The panels have been damaged in some way.
What caused these dents? I'll come up, go up and look at them. What do the dents look like?
Give me an awareness ingenuity, please.
17.
That is... It looks like something was hurled into the walls.
From the inside?
Yes. As if someone or something took an object and threw it into the walls. That's what you're seeing, this crumpled, broken areas of debris. It looks like crushing or bludgeoning force inside.
There's no blood or anything around right now?
No blood, and...
No sign of people.
Not yet, no.
It looks like something was thrown into the wall.
It might have just been the spaceship in spinning.
Let's keep going.
A little bit further down, you continue making your way past these, and you see, again, a series of dented and broken panels. You see what looks like... On the far right of this corridor, that is a hole in the ship. It doesn't look out into space, but that is a hole in the ship. From this distance, you can tell that it looks like something cut through the bulkhead, right? In a kind of a circular fashion.
Cut or ripped?
It looks clean for the most part. It looks like a solid sort of line. So a cutting, an intentional cutting rather than a ripping.
And we'll have a torch.
What?
A flashlight? I'll just take out a sonic screwdriver and like kind of. It's not really a flashlight.
Well, I was saying torch.
There's a plasma torch. Pulling the ship. Why aren't we dead?
It's not to space, it's to the rest of the ship.
If something is cutting holes in the ship, we need to know what.
Sure. That seems like it's in my best interest.
Your survival would indeed depend on it.
That's how that qualifies, yeah.
So that's a no in the torch?
No.
Who carries a flashlight around with them? You're a crazy person.
That's a side point. Take out the sonic screwdriver and kind of scan it around the circle and see if I can see anything past it.
As you make your way closer to this circular opening of the bulkhead, you can see now inside, making your way around and looking in that. That's the interior of a rather cramped spaceship. Looks like a smaller craft. Probably seats about, I don't know, maybe under 10 people. It's like a more like a scout ship than anything else. It is cramped looking. You can see that there is a single sort of flickering light coming from the ceiling, but otherwise it's completely dark. There's no light coming from any of the wall panels or the floor or anything else. And it reeks. There is this rotten, curdling smell coming from the inside of this spaceship.
Can I spend a point to have a flashlight?
Yes. Very good.
Who cares one run the whole way?
I found a flashlight.
Grab it and turn it on.
It was here in my jockstrap.
Return to jockstrap.
It was here in my sleeve, along with all of these these handkerchiefs.
Ribbons!
Oh, Dove! This one's dead.
Ooh. So I'll didn't shine the flashlight land. Into the hole.
I mean, okay. That's kind of what they did with a lot of the...
So you can see inside right? that, mm-hmm. Again, that sort of...
Prestige to
this, the illumination of the inside of the spaceship sort of confirms it for you. This is a relatively small craft. It is made up of what looks like... It doesn't look to have been machined. It doesn't look like the clean, sort of well-machined, well-designed interior of, say, your TARDIS, or a standard sort of spacefaring craft that humans might use in, like, the 51st century or something. Like, this is pieces of metal and glass and rusted pieces sort of mashed together and bolted together. It looks like a junker-style ship. And you can see that in the cockpit, there are two sort of rough leather-looking seats, a vast sort of console that has all manner of knobs and switches on it. And inside, along one wall on the left, is a series of what looks like bladed instruments, probably weapons from what you're looking at, like long knives and sword-like implements.
So what's the smell coming from?
I'm going to take one of those.
Okay, you want to take one? Sure. We'll add alien knife.
What a crude design. Functional.
What is the source of the smell?
One ship.
I will go in.
Awareness and ingenuity, if you want to go in.
Is there a resolve check for the smell?
I don't think it's not that yet. Bad yet.
It's 14.
Yeah.
Once you 14? Find the smell and okay. get closer to the smell.
So with a source of like curdling 14. Milk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's.
And is this ship on the map? I don't see it on here.
You don't recognize it from the display or see your show.
Yeah.
So you walk inside and it hits you strongly. Take one level of damage in your resolve.
Okay, what does that mean?
That means you mark off one of the dots, right? So that means now when you use resolve, it's at a 3 instead of a 4. Does that make sense?
Like my resolve.
Sure, but how do I get back?
There are ways to like heal yourself.
Have a cup of tea.
Have a cup of tea. All
right. So yeah, this destruction. Oh, God. Am I going to go in here? Yeah, I'm going to go in here. And you're smelling it. It seems to come from the entire like surface of the ship. You're able to sort of move forward, sniff through. It seems like it's not coming from a specific point, but seems to essentially sort of inundated the ship. The ship is soaked in this horrible smell.
It's basically a college boys' dorm room.
Whoa.
I mean,
giant effort.
Somebody just walked in and it was just axe. So,
they all have to take that.
Remember, should we call it Lynx?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Only if we're actually in Europe. We're currently in space, so no.
But she would call it.
I'll yes. come back out.
Okay.
So what's in the
Zoe. Good night. Now. Sorry. It's freaking 10 o'clock at night. Oh. Sorry, Lance.
Yeah, Lance should probably get going to bed.
Yeah.
Lance?
It's been a pleasure, buddy.
I'm sorry I didn't get to hear the theme too.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's coming. Close.
You got distracted.
This close.
But you're not dying on your drive home is probably important.
Yes.
Well, on the drive to work.
So I will come back out of this spaceship.
So.
Something isn't right.
I got a knife.
So, how do I.
That's something right.
So, with my feel the turn of the universe. Something's obviously unnatural here.
Something is going wrong here.
And
yeah,
so I can kind of feel what to do to put it back?
You make a specific roll and it sort of like tells you like, okay, what is specifically wrong here out of my sort of internal sense. Right?
Yeah, so that would be...
So, feel the turn of the universe is awareness and ingenuity, but with a +2 bonus. Because of your feeling, right? Mm-hmm.
18.
Okay.
All right. I figured the best way to be good at a thing was to be a Time Lord, so... Plus it's fun.
Good way, yeah.
This seems, from what you've seen so far, based on the dimensions of the corridors, the way that everything is laid out, the sort of... by voice recognition, ship assistant that you're hearing, like, it's most likely that you are on a ship designed for humanoids.
Yeah.
Based on the map, this is probably a colony ship.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Because it's massive, mm-hmm. It contains all manner of rooms and portions that are would be normally inessential for like a military or a scientific ship. We're talking about workshops, canteens.
We've got a film room.
We've got a film room. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, well, in addition to the ship very slowly, well, relatively speaking, sort of tumbling into this debris column in the distance, which will almost certainly destroy the ship.
Yes.
You now probably have uninvited guests on the ship as well.
That's what
that the colony ship was definitely not anticipating.
Yeah. And not humanoids, given the smell.
Oh, I don't know. It could be.
Okay.
It's an awful smell.
Back on the spaceship.
I mean, you've been in a dorm room, so.
We need to see if there are any survivors. We need to get going. Quickly. And start to go rush towards the lift.
Okay, so you make your way out of this area, continue down the corridor, hang a left, and you almost collide directly into a massive figure. He is, or looks like a he anyway. This 7-foot-tall, orange-skinned, muscular figure dressed in what looks like sort of heavy leathers. This heavy and pronounced brow, almost Cro-Magnon, in a way, wielding this almost cannon-like device. It's this long sort of metallic barrel that is essentially pockmarked with all manner of like boxes and bits and so on. It clearly has a handle by which to steady the device, and also what looks like a trigger mechanism. Behind that person are two similarly dressed and built orange-skinned figures, each with one of those sort of wicked-looking knives that they had,
so they're
that they were in the ship. The massive one in front of you sort of backs up slightly as he sees you almost collide into him. He immediately levels this weapon at you and says, you, come with us.
Where are we going?
To your doom.
Oh, I'd rather not, if that's all right. Thank you.
To the title sequence.
I'm going to say right now that's against my plans.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Really, I should be playing the classic thing because that was really a kitschy cliffhanger. But
yeah,
you know,
it's all right.
Yeah, use what you got.
Do I recognize these people? This
the theme tune is not over.
Really,
you don't have the ability to recognize anything.
Have to wait until the credits are over.
Hold on,
you see, it's telling you what the episode title is, The Crypt of the Kraken.
Now you need to tell me who wrote it. Was it Moffat, was it?
No.
As long as it wasn't Moffat, we won't die, it's fine.
David F. Chapman.
Great, it wasn't Moffat, so we're not going to die or end up in an alternate timeline.
Wait, no.
Not again.
Not again.
No! We've entered a loop.
Anyway. Do I recognize what the species is?
Okay, we'll roll, and that I think that should be the last thing we do for tonight.
Oh, okay.
We gotta. I've got stuff to do in the morning. We've all got stuff to do in the morning.
I have to go to work.
And I would like to pick this back up, definitely, mm-hmm. because I, this unlike the Rocket Age game, I know exactly what I'm talking about when we're doing this. So you're going to do? You're just trying to see if you've recognized these characters before. These
species
before,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Give me ingenuity,
mm-hmm.
and knowledge,
mm-hmm.
right?
11.
An 11.
My worst roll of the evening so far.
It's still pretty good. My worst roll of the evening was 2 digits. Check your provost there, Time Lord.
Look, how often do I get to be, like, good at things?
You don't recognize the species.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
But you have heard tell of similar-looking figures, orange-skinned, pronounced brows, and you know that they are, generally speaking, pirates.
These are my kind of people.
I feel like N's going to turn the corner and be like, wait a second, I know them. They're from your trek across the stars. They're Klingons, are they not?
Ah, yes, Klingons.
Yes, of course.
Very tan Klingons. They were a little too long in the bed.
We'll see if I actually get to make a roll next time.
Oh, right, yeah, I guess you didn't, did you? Did you eat it?
Yes.
One. Yeah, you did one.
You got a knife.
You did get a knife.
You did get a knife.
So I'm wondering if it's like a knife for a normal person, or if it's just like a knife because...
Just that's not a knife. This is a knife.
Well, I was thinking in the other direction. Like, for her, it's just the knife. But like, if I was wielding it...
Like a sword?
A sword.
It's somewhere between a... It's like a... Do you know how big a gladius is? Mm-hmm. You know, the old Roman sword? Yeah. It's somewhere between, like, a particularly long knife and, like, a proper short sword or long sword. That's about what you're, the size you're looking at.
Which is kind of perfect for her. It's a knife. For me, it'd be like, I have a small sword.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Thank you.
I like playing Doctor Who.
You know what I like even more? Next Sunday we go watch Doctor Who.
It's true.
Yes.